We're glad you could join us today. Here's Fred Kuhn.
Hi, everybody. Today's guest is Eric Johnson. Eric earned a bachelor's from the United States Naval Academy and a master's in science from the Navy Postgraduate School. He's a certified senior professional in human resources and SPHR and systems analyst. He has experience of 30 years in military, healthcare, transportation, defense, biotech, pharma, IT, and my goodness, Eric, it goes on and on. The question that I'm going to ask you today deals with resistance to human resources within many corporations and what the cause of that is, and you as an organizational leader, how do you overcome that resistance? So my question is, how does an HR leader overcome organizational resistance to enabling HR as, if not the primary, strategic driver of organizational success and change?
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Kuhn. I appreciate the opportunity. Looking at the HR model from the past as compared to now, and the biggest challenge is not so much organizational resistance, as I would say, is some strongly held beliefs by operators that are focused on the P&L bottom line to actually recognize the strategic significance that human resources plays in their success or their lack of success. I find that it's an educational undertaking where, especially in small and medium-sized companies where you've got a CEO or a COO or potentially some board members, founders of the company, started out and built it up to 500, 1,000 people. They're thinking about going global and they're on that pivot point of really exploding into being a very large company. They have some strongly held beliefs, you know, and what I have found that has worked for me successfully and what most, I think, senior HR, you know, either executives or senior directors and above, really need to have a skill set that is data-centric that can actually help them educate their CEOs, their COOs, their chief financial officers on where the cost benefits lie in the HR realm. And you could talk anecdotes all day about, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, but I can walk into my CEO's office and say, I've worked in human resources for 30 years and I know something intuitively, I know something from my field study, but the first question rightfully is going to be asked is, show me the data, show me the analysis of alternatives. Show me where this affects me and why I should care that we don't appear to be as competitive in the market to attract top talent for our total compensation package, why I should increase my salary, why I should invest in attracting and retaining millennials. And that requires some rigor and data in terms of being able to look back and say, there is a cost for attrition, there is a cost for retention incentives, there's a cost for engagement, you know, and help them understand that HR is not just a soft skill. It's not just a soft need. There are hard data points associated with the things we need to do to remain competitive in the marketplace. For instance, I have in my current company, I've been here since December, I've come in and basically done a complete review of retention and attrition and informed them of the costs for attrition across our entire enterprise and by specific skill sets. And a lot of eyes were wide open when they understood that our lack of investing in certain things and surveying the workforce, for one thing, and getting data points that aren't just anecdotal, but you can actually say out of 1,000 people, 650 replied to a survey, gave us X, Y, and Z data points to look at as their causes for leaving or why they would leave the company, what they want to see changed. And it matters because last year we lost, you know, 45 nurses with a price tag on each one of those after hiring, training, and trying to retain, there's a cost point.
What was the cost point?
It really comes down to, for us, our attrition point was just a little over $16,000 per employee. Okay. So when you turn that into a discussion about, well, how do we cut our attrition by 40% and get to an industry average and show them that there is a captured industry average. And this is where also the HR specialist has to be engaged in understanding the industry at large and where it's going and also what information is available to better inform those senior executives on making strategic decisions is that the cost value is this. This is our standard. We are below that standard. here's the data that shows it, and here's what we need to invest in terms of everything from doing a matching 401k vice a flat 401k and right. why that's important and so on and so forth. So we were losing, you know, if you do 16,000 four times, you know, 40 plus,
you're already dead. $720,000.
Right. So you turn around and say, if we invest $200,000 in increased benefits, we look at taking our paid holidays from 6 to 10 a year. We maybe up our offered PTO or consider PTO alternatives like non-accrued PTO, or we free up and get a more flexible work schedule and we actually respond to the stated needs of our workforce, you're going to see 20, 30, 40% reduction in attrition. And if we do that, we're going to save $200,000, $300,000 a year. But you have to do the homework and you have to gather the data and you have to be able to present it in such a way that it isn't walk in and ask for a decision. You have to look for alternatives. And oh, by the way, small, medium, large companies, you have to give them scalable alternatives that, you know, here's option A, you know, we tweak this a little bit. Here's option B. We do some moderate changes. Option C is you're all in and you create this and we're going to make some.
So you don't just ask for it. You prove the need.
Yet you have to prove the need and it requires data. You know, and that's very difficult for HR. And as I find, you also have to, you know, the bigger change is investing in things like automation, a very good HRMS system that's linked to payroll that you can actually do reportable data in a reasonable amount of time. I, unfortunately, when I walked into my current company, they were, you know, like I say, kind of working in the Stone Age, a lot of paper folders. And
they're not alone, Eric.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. And believe me, it's always great when you walk into a place like that. You know, there were 15 or 20 HR no-brainers, you know, when I walked into the company.
Sure.
And that's a good thing, you know, for a new HR person coming into a more significant role. And so getting those tools in place that you can actually measure, gather data objectively without skewing it or having any bias and presenting data doesn't lie. And it's not somebody's great idea. And hey, I think we ought to spend $50,000 to implement a new HRMS and $20,000 a year to sustain it. Well, you got to tell them why. And you got to tell them why in terms of numbers and show that to them in a way that will make sense. And oh, by the way, you have to also help educate that culture matters in a company. Do people like working here or not? Everyone's in social media. Everyone can read Glassdoor. What are they saying about the company online? And how do you change that? Yet those numbers are not where you want them to be in terms of the company's favorable or the CEO's favorable.
It would seem to me from what you've said that presenting alternatives would be the key to success in any overall strategy, right?
Absolutely. Well, just like anyone else, no one likes being backed into a corner with a yes or no answer. You lay out the, you know, I like to bring in at least three, if not four alternatives. And, you know, obviously one is maintain status quo and keep losing money off the bottom line because of this. And then you go into a very light change, moderate change, and then large change, and then depending upon the level of resources you're asking them to invest. With each one of those supported with an ROI that's in the black. And the hard part is if you walk into the door as an HR person, and I was pretty selective in looking for where I was going to work at this point in my career, I did not want to work in an organization where the minds were closed to any change whatsoever, and they wanted me to just maintain a status quo. In my interview process, and you know, thanks to Stuart Cooper and Kuhn, I was very well prepared to ask the hard questions to make sure the position culturally and at the executive level was the right fit for me so that I could actually bring this knowledge to bear in a form that included systems at implementation that, to bring in tools to capture data, to present those alternatives with the bottom line. And by the way, tie it to, you know, how the company is perceived internally and externally. And I interviewed with a number of organizations. And when I finally found this one, I was my leadership team here that I work for and I work with was very open to, hey, we know we don't have all the answers and we're looking for somebody to come in and help us shape those. Just please don't come in and implement a bunch of things based upon strongly held ideas. You better have data.
Wouldn't it be nice if every HR person had a team like that?
Right. And, you know, and I would caution my HR peers that when you walk into an organization, especially if you're being promoted from a director to a VP level or VP to a C level, that you really interview the company for your fit. Because at this point, I think most of us understand the trend of where human resources is going, or, and there's different names out there, as director of people and people management, but it's all human resources, that you have a lot to bring to an organization. You're going to be eminently frustrated if you don't have at least an open ear to hear your proposals for change for the better of the company. So I hope that answers your question, Fred.
It answers the question, and it raises so many more, Eric, that we should spend probably another several podcasts on. The question was, how does an HR leader overcome organizational resistance? And I think you've done a great job of addressing some of the major concerns to answer that question. Our guest today was Eric Johnson, and his military honors include Meritorious Service Medal, Navy Commendation Medal, Navy Achievement Medal, and the Legion of Merit, in addition to 30 years as a senior leader in HR in multiple industries. Eric, I'd like to thank you for your time today and sharing your knowledge here today on workplace strategies.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred, or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.